Amen. Praise the Lord for that special and the message of that song. I believe that was one that Sheree wrote herself, and what a blessing that was. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs and chapter 5, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 8. We've been in a series in the book of Proverbs because I believe there's a greater need today than ever before for biblical knowledge, wisdom, and common sense. And the book of Proverbs has all of that. It has biblical knowledge, wisdom, and common sense. And so if you'll stand with me this morning, we're going to be reading chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are immovable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, what a blessing it has already been just being in this place. And we thank you first and foremost for your presence. God, I pray that each and everyone here, if they haven't already, but that they would experience and sense your presence in this place. I pray, God, that you would open up their heart and their minds to receive and be ready to apply that which you have for them. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And you may be seated. We studied the need for Bible knowledge, biblical knowledge that comes from God's word, the Bible, the scriptures, which he has promised to preserve. And heaven and earth shall pass away, he said, but my word shall never pass away. So knowledge that comes from the scriptures, knowledge that comes by way of God's design of nature. There's so much knowledge that we gain from seeing how God designed everything to work properly in nature. And then the soul of man, which is different than any other life form, because created in the image and likeness of God. We define wisdom, and we've studied the idea of wisdom, biblical wisdom, and the definition would be knowledge and the capacity to make use of it, having this Bible knowledge and then the capacity to apply it or to make use of it. We've preached on several things up until this point, and last week we preached on the wisdom of discipline, how important it is to understand the knowledge and the wisdom and the common sense of God's discipline of his children, of parental discipline of their children, and then self-discipline, how important those things are. And then as we read chapter 5 and as we study the book of Proverbs, we can't overlook this that we're looking at this morning, the wisdom of biblical morality. Verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, and this is God speaking to his children. This is what it's here for us to understand as Solomon was being directed by the Holy Spirit of God to write from God. He says, "My son, attend to my wisdom." Not our wisdom, but God's wisdom. Amen. "And bow thine ear to my understanding." The way that God understands why he designed it and would have us to understand it likewise. "That thou mayest regard discretion. Discretion. My wisdom, my understanding that thou mayest, as we look to God's wisdom, God's understanding, and then how we ought to regard discretion. Discretion would be discernment and judgment of one's own conduct. Discernment, and then the judgment of one's own conduct. Solomon wrote of two main topics in the first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs. It's more in story form than the rest of the book of Proverbs, but the first nine chapters, two basic things: wisdom and sexual purity. Those are the two main things. It saddens me to learn that many today, even in the United States of America, have no idea of what biblical morality is. Today's culture thrives on immorality. It's everywhere you look. It's hard to not hear and not see things that you don't want to hear and you don't want to see. But today's culture thrives on immorality, and many even brag on their exploits. As we study the Bible, especially if you read in the book of Proverbs, we're not going to be able to deal with everything that's here, but immorality is a poison to any society. Always has. You find that that's the main reason God judged the land of Canaan. And he turned it over to Israel, for Israel to possess the land, the promised land, because the inhabitants of Canaan were very immoral in every area. And God judged them through Israel, and Israel was to utterly destroy the inhabitants of Canaan so that they would not have an influence on Israel. Immorality is a poison to any society. Can I tell you that I would say everyone has been negatively affected by immorality in our lives, whether directly or indirectly, our lives have been impacted by it. In chapter 5 and verse 3, the Bible talks about the lips of a strange woman. You'll see that phrase often in the first nine chapters when it's talking about the sexual morality and purity. And what that is, it's referring to immorality. And it will, a lot of times from this point, it will call her, but it is referring to immorality, a strange woman. Verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, but her, this immorality, this strange woman, but her end is bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. It cuts. Her feet, this immorality, go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. So death and hell, Satan's domain. So immorality is, if you will, based on the devil himself. And then it looks at verse 6 and it says this: lest thou should ponder the path of life. As we're thinking about how we're going to live our lives, as we're thinking about every aspect of our lives and ponder how we're going to live, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. They'll get worse. You cannot base your life upon morality today, because morality today is not what morality was a year ago and 2 years ago, and it will continue to get worse. This is the ways of the world. This is immorality. You can't base it on 1 year or one generation. The world continues to change their belief in what is moral and what's immoral. But God has established morality. In the creation of humanity and after the fall of man, God established morality, and that's never changed. It will never change. But immorality will continue to change because it's not based upon God in the world. It's based on human understanding and human desires and the lust of humanity. So we find here it says, lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways, this is immorality, are movable. They're not going to stay the same, that thou canst not know them. They'll just continue to get worse. But he says, hear me now, therefore, O ye children of to children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Speaking of morality, we can't depart from what God has established, no matter what society does, no matter how far, because God's word remains the same. But people are going to ponder this. Discretion, again, discernment and judgment of one's own conduct. Everyone at some point will determine what they are, how they're going to live their life, and based on their own concept of morality, whether it's that of God's or that of the world's or whatever variation you might want to live by. But all will ponder. That ponder is to consider and compare. Today there's many Christians who are pondering, is it time to rethink what we've been taught and what we've studied in the Bible as far as biblical morality? Denominations of religions have accepted things that, quite honestly, I don't know how in the world they believe in God, how they could accept the things that they're accepting and promoting in their so-called even Christian churches. As we ponder, there is no stopping the evil in the paths of immorality. 10 years ago, I didn't think it'd get any worse. And 10 years later, it's quite a bit worse. Just imagine where society will be in another 10 years. It's not going to get better when it comes to society. Things that you wouldn't have thought that you would have condoned 10 years ago, many are condoning today. Verse 7, again, what God has designed and his established guidelines, he designed it and then he established guidelines for biblical morality is timeless. Designed and given guidelines based upon how he created us. So the first thing we look to as we study this, and there's no doubt if you'd read the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, you're going to see this and dealing with this topic over and over again. But the first thing I want to do as we look at this is it's talking about regarding discretion and pondering the fruit of immorality. Which, once you understand the fruit of immorality, common sense would tell you, I'm not going that direction. As we regard discretion and ponder the fruit of immorality, we have first and foremost fornication, adultery. How many have been impacted in your life by these two things? It's running rampant today, and there's no stopping it. Fornication, adultery, abortion, pornography, prostitution, incest, rape, human trafficking, sexual addictions, and sexual diseases. Just to list a few. This is the fruit, common sense fruit of immorality as we look at it for what it is. But can I tell you, the worst of all of the fruit of immorality is something that as born-again believers better understand is God's judgment. God's judgment. Here in chapter 5 in verse 20, "And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord." God is watching, God sees, and he pondereth all his goings. "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." God reveals it to be sin, and God reveals it his iniquities, and God will see that, and God will judge that. "He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray." Wow. Chapter 6, verse 27. I'm just reading your Bible here this morning. "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned?" And he's talking, it's in regard to immorality. "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent." Adultery. Verse 32, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." That's the Bible. That's timeless. Chapter 7, verse 21. "With her," talking about strange women, which is immorality, "with her much fair speech she caused him to yield with the flattering of her lips, and she forced him, and with her lips. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strikes through the liver, his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to hear my ways. Go not astray in her paths." God's warning of immorality and going in that direction. "For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." Wow. How can we not understand what God is revealing to us in this book of wisdom, in this book of Proverbs that helps us to have knowledge, God's knowledge, and the wisdom to apply the knowledge, using discretion and pondering the paths of our ways. In chapter 9, in verse 17, "Stolen waters," and this is talking about immorality, "stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not what you're doing in secret. You might think you're getting by with it, and you might think it pleasant, and you might think it sweet, but he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." Wow. The beginning may be sweet, but never as sweet as the end is bitter. In Galatians, in chapter 9, we take this into the New Testament, Jesus establishing the very same things as far as the wisdom of morality. Galatians in chapter 5 and down to verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, all types of lusts, if you will, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings and murders and drunkenness and revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot continue to live a life opposite the will of God and think that you have God, think that you have salvation, think that you're going to have heaven to look forward to. The Bible says that you will not be able to live this way if you have Christ in you. The conviction and the chastisement of God will not allow you to enjoy the pleasures of the sins of this world indefinitely. Wow. Hebrews in chapter 13, and let me just read this to you. I want you to just take this in. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Pondering the fruit of immorality should give anybody with any common sense the information that they need to turn away from it. Don't be blinded. So regard discretion and ponder the fruit of biblical morality. The Bible gives it to us. We need to look at our lives, and we need to regard discretion, and we need to think about and ponder the fruit of biblical morality. Can I tell you the first thing that I find in the fruit of biblical morality is healthy marriages that are designed by God. Proverbs in chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. In the very same chapter as our text here, verse 18 and 19, it says this: let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Now, the Bible's already revealed, and we not take time to go there, but in the very beginning in Genesis, God established and designed marriage. Jesus came and he helped us understand it's not changed. God's design is one man for one woman for life. And to be under the authority of parents until that time when they are able to move out, and once they commit to marriage, then that is the first responsibility that they have in their relationships outside of God, is that with their spouse, because it is so vitally important to any society that we have strong biblical marriages. Amen. Let the fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished also with her love. Wow. God's design is good. Nothing to be ashamed of in God's design for marriage and how God designed a man for a woman. That's common sense will tell you that and let you see that and understand that. And how he designed woman for man and man for woman. Not only Bible knowledge and wisdom, but it's common sense that we have lost sight of. 1 Corinthians in chapter 7, we find here God revealing this, even New Testament for us, understanding it's timeless. God's plan for marriage is timeless. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 7, verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. You think about the other person, you respect the other person, and you realize that you are been given by God to meet the needs of your spouse. Do not allow lust to overpower you. Lust is what you can do for me. Love is what I can do for you. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. God says, God's given you to your spouse. Defraud ye not one another, except to be consent, with consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan, who wants to destroy God's plan for marriage, Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Healthy marriages. God designed it. God instilled something within a woman for a man that is powerful enough to keep a marriage together for life. God instilled within a man the desire for a woman that's so powerful inside the will of God. Do the same thing. Outside the will of God, it's still powerful, but Satan uses it to destroy. What God designed for good, Satan wants to use for evil. Yeah. Fruit of biblical morality is healthy marriages following God's design. The fruit of biblical morality is healthy homes, healthy environment as an example for children to be raised in. Wow. How important it is for children to be able to have a healthy environment while they're developing their own heart and mind. I tell you, parents, we need to stop allowing our children to be exposed to things before they're ready to be exposed to them. They shouldn't be pondering the things that the world wants them to ponder in elementary schools. They're not ready for that. Very familiar passage of scriptures. We took a look over there in Ephesians in chapter 6. God knows this, and he tells them, he said, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up." They need to be brought up. They need to be helped in their development to have healthy thinking and healthy living. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the ways of God. As we looked at the discipline of children last week, and I trust that was a help to you. Do not allow your children to grow up too fast, to be placed in a position where they're pondering the things that the world wants them to ponder when it comes to morality. The more that they're exposed to it, the more it will have an impact on their own minds, which will have an impact on their lives and the direction that they go. Back over in our text here in Proverbs chapter 5, lest thou should ponder the paths of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of thy mouth. That's what the children need to be raised in, the words of God, the example of God. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years. Look right there, thy years unto the cruel, the years of innocence. See, the problem with society today is that we've raised the generation and that are pondering their own morality. And if it's not based on the Bible, based on human reasoning, if there is no God, I don't see a problem with it. But there is a God. And God has established morality for a reason. He's given us guidelines to follow. And children need to be raised. I hate to see what I see a lot of times. And children being allowed to make themselves look so much older. Parents, God is giving you your children to raise for Him, nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. You will not give an account for how your children turn out. You will give an account for how you raise them. If you're not raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they're not going to turn out. On a percentage basis, they will not turn out the way that God wants them to turn out. Because in their developing stages of life, their brains, their heart, their emotions, everything about it, they're pondering their way of life. And if they're exposed to things that appeal to the flesh, then they're going to start yielding to the flesh even at a young age. They don't need to dress them modestly. Even as children, they need to be taught modest apparel. As children, they need to understand that their bodies are the temples of God. As children, they need to understand that God has a plan and a purpose for marriage. They need to be raised with that kind of nurture and admonition. Don't let society raise your children. Do not let the public schools raise your children. Because it is quite a bit worse today than it ever has been. And it's not going to stop where it's at now. There's no stopping that type of immorality. It will only get worse. The fruit of biblical morality: healthy minds. Most adults battle what they allowed themselves to be involved in growing up. And it's ever etched in your mind. You try to forget it, you try to block it out, but the old devil will continue to bring it up because you give him that ammunition to use against you. Every thought you've ever felt, you've ever thought, everything you've ever felt, everything you've ever saw, what you've allowed yourself to experience, what you've allowed yourself to be involved, it's stored in your subconscious mind. And the devil has access to a subconscious mind, and he will use it against you over and over again. That'll help every parent to want to keep their children from going through what we possibly went through, that you cannot change. You do not need to allow it to control you and to control your future. God has given you a greater authority to overcome that, and you focus on God and His will for your life and what is biblical morality, and you can overcome whatever sin, whatever scars that might be there, but it will not go away. Fruit of biblical morality is a healthy mind. Even right now, I dare say there's many that are thinking about things right now that you wish you could erase, that you wish you could go back and changed what you did. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Let me read this to you. A very well-known passage of scripture. I use it quite a bit in counseling. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 says this: casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When you have the mind of Christ, you have peace. You have joy. You have healthy thinking. But you have to control your mind. And you have to bring into subjection every thought to the obedience of Christ. Yeah. Immorality changes the way we think. It will. You go back in your own life, it was immorality that got you off of the right thinking that led you to wrong thinking. Right thinking will lead to right paths and a healthy mind. The fruit of biblical morality, and lastly this morning as we close, possibly and most importantly, it positions us for having God's blessings. If immorality positions us for the judgment of God, and it does, how much more should biblical morality position us for the blessings of God? And that's what we ought to focus on. We ought to have that desire for our children. We ought to have that desire for our spouses. We ought to have that desire for our friends and our loved ones. And we ought to have that desire for ourselves. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. I'm going to close with this. Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, to live life, and to please God, so you would abound more and more. If we walk to please God, if we have the right type of thinking, if we have yielded ourselves to biblical morality, then we are pleasing God, and you will abound more and more in the blessings of God. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, being set apart for God's purposes, not the world's, that ye should abstain from fornication, the very beginning of immorality that leads to so many other things, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. What godly parent would not want to raise their child to understand this? And yet your example is what speaks the loudest. The fruit of biblical moralities. Can I tell you there's great wisdom in rejecting immorality and choosing biblical morality? As we choose biblical morality, we need to cultivate a pure mind and a pure body. The only way to do that, especially in the world that we're living in today, having the right influence over our minds. The way God designed it is for God's Spirit, and you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit once you get saved, for God's Spirit then to bear witness with your spirit, and your spirit understanding it's God's Spirit, and opening up to the influence of God's Spirit. And when you open up to the influence of God's Spirit, His Spirit will help you to have control of your mind. And when you have control of your mind, you can have control of your body. It's a spirit-controlled, mind-controlled body, because the body is not going to lead you to any good thing. The natural body is not going to lead you to biblical morality. The natural body is going to lead you to immorality. But God has established morality, and he wants us all to abide by that. And so we have to have a greater influence in our own bodies. We have to have the influence of God, which influences my spirit, which influences my mind, which then can control my body, and I can live the life that God can bless and will be an example for my children to follow after. Wisdom of choosing biblical morality. If I could have ever head bowed this morning. To think about the message we've just heard from the book that God has given to us for knowledge and wisdom and common sense. Let's choose biblical morality as a way to live our lives. Father, we bow before you this morning and love you, Lord God, and thank you for the truths of your word. And God, for the opportunity to stand here and to preach your truths to help us all to be able to have the right pondering, to know the blessings of choosing your will and your ways. If there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, God, they need your help. They need salvation, not only for eternal life, but to be able to live and have an example that you want them to have in this life. I pray right now, God, that you would bring conviction to that lost soul's heart and mind. You will help them to come to this altar during this invitation and to look to your word to know what you say a person must do to be saved. God, work in our midst now. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.